want to just read one incident, a well-known incident in the Gospels, but to get one or two points I want to make, I'm going to beg your patience. I'm going to read from two accounts. So if we can read from Mark chapter 5 and verse 2. And immediately on his going out of the ship, there met him out of the tombs a man possessed by an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling in the tombs, and no one was able to bind him, not even with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been torn asunder by him, and the fetters were shattered, and no one was able to subdue him. And then in Luke chapter 8 and verse 35, and they went out to see what had happened, and came to Jesus, and found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting clothed and sensible at the feet of Jesus. And then back in Mark 5 and verse 17, Mark 5 verse 17, and they began to beg him to depart from their coasts. And as he went on board ship, the man that had been possessed by the demons besought him that he might be with him. And he suffered him not, but says to him, go to thine house, to thine own people, and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee, and has had mercy on thee. And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all wondered. I want to say just a simple word tonight, dear hearers, about the power that is with the Lord Jesus to meet the greatest need in the universe. This story is well known. I've read from two accounts, which is interestingly a witness to the truth of Scripture. A lawyer would tell you that two witness accounts exactly the same are suspect. There are differences in these two accounts, very slight, but the points I want to make reflect from both passages. But here we have a man who was under the clutches of Satan, uncontrollable. It says in Mark's account that no one was able to subdue him. Such is the power of Satan and the power of the flesh. And we live in a world where there are people like that still are. And but for the grace of God, you and I would be in the same position. Uncontrollable, hopeless, no remedy. This man had cast off every restraint. He was under the clutches of Satan. No one, it says, was able to subdue him. That is, until he met a blessed man who was. He dwelt in the tombs. Literally, he had the stink of death on him. And this world, you know, is full of death, isn't it? You can't open a newspaper or look at anything without seeing death on every hand. It's the domain of Satan. And here was a man, an outcast, and there was no hope. And yet, one day, Jesus passes by. Wonderful, isn't it? He met the Lord Jesus. And you know, the Lord Jesus was the only one, and is the only one, who can deal with Satan and the power of the enemy and with sin. And this man was set free. I suppose society had given up on this man. Today, you know, there are many that are a problem to society. They don't know what to do with them. Psychiatric care, this and that and the other. But society does not know what to do with them. And if I can bring it down to a personal level, dear friend, your sinful heart society cannot deal with. It needs a greater remedy than that. It needs you having to deal with God and what he has done in Christ. There's only one man that is the blessed solution. One of our hymns says, "The hopeless case thou lovest to meet." This was a hopeless case. I suppose, naturally speaking, there was actually no hope for this man at all. But you need, dear friend, to put yourself in that position. You think you have some credibility? You have no credibility at all before God. If the sinful flesh means nothing, you're beyond redemption without Christ. The Lord Jesus is the only answer. And what I like about this story, it says that in Luke, that after Jesus had met him, he was found sitting, clothed and sensible at the feet of Jesus. In one of the accounts, it says that he had no clothes, he was naked, dwelling amongst the tombs. We know that before God, it says we are laid bare. Everything is laid bare before God. We might put on a dress of respectability. Maybe you have a cloak of religion on you. Adam and Eve sowed fig leaves, didn't they? Try to do something to cover up their sinfulness. What is your cloak of respectability tonight, dear friend? What are you hiding under? Everything is naked and laid bare before him with whom we have to do. This man was dwelling in the tombs. He had nothing but death. There was death all around. He had no hope, no future. And that describes, dear friends, so many in the world tonight. It may describe you. If you do not have Christ as your Saviour and Lord, if you haven't dealt with him, he hasn't set you free, then the future, my dear friend, is extremely bleak indeed. It says in the scripture, you know, without God, without hope in this world. And we live in a world where millions of people are hopeless. And rightly so. If I wasn't a believer in the Lord Jesus, how depressed I would be. There is no hope outside of Christ, dear friend. But this man, he was naked. He was uncontrollable. He was dwelling amongst the tombs. What a depressing situation. And to man, his fellow men, irredeemable. A problem that could not be solved. And the problem of your heart, dear friend, cannot be solved apart from the intervention of God himself and apart from the work and the person of the Lord Jesus. So he meets this man. The Lord Jesus meets this man. And then we see in Luke, it says, I read it because it says something interesting in Luke, which it doesn't say in Mark, that he was found sitting, clothed and sensible, at the feet of Jesus. Clothed. Well, dear friend, that's a wonderful thing tonight. I've spoken of the nakedness of the human heart before a holy and a righteous God. I've spoken of the cloak of your respectability. But dear friend, you can have clothing which is suitable to God. A robe of righteousness. We often hear in this room, don't we, from this very desk, about the younger son. Clothed with the best robe. What is that? It's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus himself. Paul makes that clear in Corinthians, doesn't he? Him that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's wonderful that God doesn't give you just something to pass muster. He gives you the righteousness of his very Son. I can't understand that, dear friend, but it's a wonderful fact of the gospel that you're clothed with the best robe, not the second best, not one that's just kept in the cupboard, if I can speak reverently. But God tonight in the glad tidings says, come to me in all your nakedness and shame. Yes, shame. Adam and Eve were ashamed before a holy God. They hid. Tonight, God would say to you, I will clothe you. Talks in Isaiah about being clothed with salvation. Tonight in the gospel, he would clothe you with the righteousness of his own beloved Son. That one who pleased God. We've read about it this afternoon in the reading. The one that pleased God in every way. Jesus. And his perfection you can be clothed with. So that God doesn't see any of your sin. All he sees is Christ and his perfection. And you're acceptable in God's presence. What a transformation this man had. He was clothed and he was sensible. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? Really, man in his sin, without God and without Christ, is insensible. But you, as a believer in the Lord Jesus, are given the Holy Spirit. We have Christ in our hearts. It says who has been made to us wisdom. You can be sensible tonight before God because God has given you his Holy Spirit. Clothed and sensible. But there's something else, dear friend. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus. I wonder, perhaps I can just ask you a question tonight, dear friend. Where are you tonight? Where are you? Are you wandering in the tombs? Many people tonight are wandering, aren't they? The young man in Luke 15, he wandered. I suppose he went as far as he could possibly go. You say, well, I certainly haven't done that. Well, I've been brought up in a Christian home. I can tell you, dear friend, that in my heart, if not in practice, but maybe in practice, I've wandered as far as you can go. In your heart, you certainly can. And it says he came to himself. God would work tonight in your heart that you might come to yourself. That is the Spirit's work, that you might... It might dawn on you, your position, and the fact that you've turned your back on a holy God, but a holy God who loves you and wants to bless you. You know, the heart of the Father was ever towards the prodigal son. And when he was at the very furthest point down the road, the Father was still thinking of him. And I love that, you know, it says that when he made this return journey, the Father ran. He ran to him and covered him with kisses. Have you ever experienced the love of God, dear friend? We've been reading about it in John, haven't we? God so loved the world. Have you ever experienced, there's a hymn, isn't there? The love of God. I can't recall it. But it talks about the wideness of the love of God. And yet that song was written by a village idiot. But you know, there's something, you know, when you experience the love of God, how grand it is, how great it is, how transforming it is. It's the greatest power in the universe. And where do we see it expressed, the love of God? We don't see it in creation exactly. Yes, the heavens, it says, declare the glory of God. But we don't see the love of God in the heavens. Creation, yes, we see the glory of God in creation. But we don't see the love of God in creation. Where do I see the love of God? I see it at the cross. That's where I see the love of God. Yes, the hymn says God is light and God is love. And we see both on the cross of Calvary. Tonight, dear friend, I would point you to the cross. That's where the Lord Jesus died for your sins and for mine, in order that God might give you this cloak, this garment of righteousness, this best robe. And it can transform the power of the vilest sinner. One of our hymns says, the hopeless case thou lovest to meet. This dear man that we've read of, he was a hopeless case. I was a hopeless case. Maybe you are a hopeless case. The gospel's preacher is responsibility, in a word, to say that. You are a hopeless case. But God deals with the impossible. He loves to meet the hopeless case, and he's provided the remedy by the giving of his own beloved Son. And God's love has been demonstrated in the cross. Yes, when Jesus met this man, he showed him his love and his power. And you know, for us, God has shown his love and his power at the cross. It's that that transforms us, makes us new, gives us hope, gives us peace, gives us joy. This man was transformed completely, clothed and sensible, and sitting at the feet of Jesus. That man who, it says, he could not be subdued. There was nothing that anyone could do with him. And yet he met the Lord Jesus Christ. Where does he end up? He is sitting at his feet. Place of subjection, place of learning. If you want to learn anything, dear friend, tonight, I would suggest you sit at the feet of Jesus. He come under his influence. We read, didn't we, at the end of the chapter this afternoon about submitting to Christ. This dear man, he submitted to Christ because he sat at his feet. It's a wonderful place to learn. You'll hear words, you'll hear truth that you'll never hear anywhere else, sitting at the feet of Jesus. What a transformation for this dear man. And I can tell you, dear friend, that there's hope for this man, there's hope for you and I. And this is still going on. Yes, we live in a very wicked world, and yet millions are still experiencing this transforming power, because God is God. And the gospel hasn't changed. His power hasn't changed. His grace hasn't changed. His mercy hasn't changed. And dear friends, many are being transformed as they come to the Lord Jesus tonight in faith and repentance. I don't want to say much more, actually, but I just read the end of the story here because it's very solemn. There were those that wanted Jesus to go away. They'd seen the transforming power of Christ for themselves. They'd actually seen someone who'd been completely changed as they met the Lord Jesus. And yet they resented it. Dear friend, what a solemn warning. Do you resent blessing? Do you want to have nothing to do with the Lord Jesus? It says, doesn't it? They begged him. This is why I read it in is it in Mark's Gospel? Verse 17. I read it from Mark because it's very emphatic here. And they began to beg him to depart from their coasts. What a solemn position. There was a man that had been blessed. They'd seen the power of Christ in overcoming the devil and sin and death and Satan himself. And yet they said, They begged him to depart from their coasts. Tonight, dear friend, what will you do with Jesus? Is he an affront to you? Are you uncomfortable with him? Do you want nothing to do with him? You know, the religious leaders were the worst. They said, away with this man. We will not have this man to reign over us. And the world has the same message on their lips. Away with this man. Very solemn. The saviour of the world, the one that had brought a transforming hope to this dear man, changed him completely. They begged him to depart from their coasts. Oh, I just end on a solemn note, dear friend. Don't reject the Lord Jesus. What will you do with him? He's come in grace and mercy. He's coming back to this world as a judge. All will have to deal with him. All. Do you know, I get great comfort from the fact that some people in this world are so arrogant, aren't they? They think they know everything. They'll have to bow to the Lord Jesus. Everyone will have to deal with him. Everyone will have to meet him. Don't deny the opportunity. These people here, it was an interruption to their business. I don't know if it's this event or another one, that they were, their business was interrupted because of what Jesus had done. How sad that is. My dear friend, this is a day of salvation. These people here missed the opportunity. There was one dear man that seized the opportunity. Well, in fact, in wonderful grace, the Lord met him. I was just reading that earlier, actually. He didn't actually seek the Lord, but the Lord found him. It's wonderful grace. And there are times, and there are, I'm sure I can say, that the Lord sought me before I sought him. Wonderful grace of Jesus. But these other people, they had the opportunity and they rejected it. What a perilous position to be in, to see the salvation of God, to see Christ in action, as it were, saving a soul, and yet they rejected the offer of salvation themselves. May you not be like that tonight, but be rather like this man who meets Jesus and comes under his sway, comes under his influence. He's found clothed and sensible and sitting at the feet of Jesus. What a triumph of grace. Dear friend, come to him tonight and be saved and receive his Holy Spirit. Repent towards God, faith in him, and you'll receive repentance and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Clothed and sensible. What a wonderful position. What dignity. This man was changed from someone who was an outcast into a dignified person. And that's what every believer is. We're a son of God. Ring on our finger, the shoes on our feet, sandals on our feet. What dignity God gives you as you believe in his blessed Son. Well, may you come to him tonight for his name's sake. Amen.